Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're talking about removing self-doubt. If that's something that you've struggled with and you want to know why and how to fix it, then this is the perfect episode for you. We're also joined by a special guest, Scott Wolford, who gives his insight as well. Enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week, we've got a nice big group, which is really exciting because I'm really excited to get everyone's take on this topic today. So before we go around and say hi to everyone, I was just having a quick look on Facebook, and I wanted to shout out. So our guest last week was Kylie James, who people will remember. I just wanted to shout out that she shared the book that she was in. It is called An Inspired Life, and it's on Amazon. I'll include it in the link today. But if you want to hear more and read more from her, she's in a collection called An Inspired Life. So I'll link that. And if you enjoyed last week's episode, you'll definitely enjoy that. So that'll be cool. Today, we're going to be talking about removing self-doubt. But before we get there, let's jump around and see who's on the call today. So I might start with the man who's in HD today, John Scollin. How are you going this week?
Yeah, good, Jez. It's another good day. I don't know, busy with work and the garbage that we have to deal with, but apparently people think it's important.
Well, I hope. Well, this is important at least, John, so forget about the rest of it. You know, you're on the ML podcast today, so love to see it. Alan, I'll throw to you. How's your week going?
It's been going great, Jeff. I'm getting a bit of a reality check this weekend. My wife's away, so I'm in charge of the household. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Well, best of luck, Alan. all right, awesome. And now we've got three people in one screen today. So if you're watching the video, you'll be able to see that. And let's go around. So we've got Danette. How are you going this week?
Yeah, had a great week this week, Jez. We've been traveling in northern New South Wales. It's been awesome.
Amazing, amazing. And Graham, how's your week going?
Likewise. Yeah, It's been a really good week. We've travelled down roads never been on before, seen parts of Australia that we haven't seen, got to hang out with a group of amazing people for a day and a half, and yeah, where we are today, the weather's stunning, so life's pretty magical.
Awesome, and you've actually brought on a special guest, which is Scott Wolford. Scott, how are you going today?
Yeah, fantastic, Jez. Had a pretty good day. Been having a bit of a farm tour and that sort of thing, so been roped in. So happy to join.
and Scott, I might just get you just for once.
If I can, just forget about the lag.
Yeah, go, Jez.
All right, cool. So I was just going to say, Scott, if you wanted to tell people who may not know who you are, I know you're wildly famous, Australia up and down, but for people who may not know who you are, do you want to give us just a quick description of who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so Scott Wolford, and just basically on a property 45Ks out of Narrabri. And working in a local coal mine not far from our property.
Awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you on today, Scott. So thanks for that. And we're really excited to hear how you take on this topic when you feel like, if you feel like you want to jump in. I might start today with John. And so as I said, we're talking about removing self-doubt. So this is a good one for us, because I looked and we've touched on this in a lot of different topics, but I thought this is a good time to actually nail it down a little bit more and sort of get a better perspective on it. So I might start with you, John. Question one today is, what are some negative effects of self-doubt?
Jez, self-doubt, in my opinion, can be very crippling. It can stop you from doing anything. It's and it stops you from achieving wherever it is you want to go or whatever it is you want to do. So the negative effects on it can be quite huge for any one individual in their life. It's not a great thing to go through.
Awesome. Thanks for that, John. I'll throw to you, Alan. What are some negative effects of self-doubt?
Thing that came up for me, Jez, is we can often lead a life that other people want for us. when we don't know who we are and what we want, now we can fall into a job or even a relationship based on other people's opinions. And we see a lot of people like that where they're just miserable.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Alan. I'll throw to our group over here. So, Danette, what are some negative effects of self-doubt?
I think, and what John and Alan have said, so true. I think the other thing is, even if it's not big self-doubt, we play small so that the world misses our gifts. Because each of us have those individual gifts and we can't use them if we're doubting ourselves all the time. So I think that's the world's a lesser place when we can't use those gifts.
Graham, I'll throw to you. What are some negative effects of self-doubt?
I think at the extremes, it's almost a form of paralysis where we, and this in part goes back to Al's comment about we live a life someone else expects from us rather than living the one that we could live. So we don't attempt things because we don't believe we can succeed. One of the negative effects potentially is that we end up living the cliche, we live a life half-lived. And sorry, even just to add one thing to that, because our mental, emotional, physiological state impacts others around us, the ripple effect of that is also potentially negative. It doesn't just affect us.
I think seeing an interesting point kind of coming up. So thanks for that, Graham. And I might just throw to Scott. What are some negative effects of self-doubt, if you want to jump in on this one?
I would say limitations of reaching your desired goals, as well as the effects of mental health and illness. So yeah, it's probably a big one.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. That's great, Scott. Thank you for that. I think what everyone's kind of touched on, and one thing that I'm finding is kind of interesting, is even though it's called self-doubt, I'm noticing that a lot of people are talking about other external pressures that are creating it in a weird way, even though it seems like it's an internal thing. It seems kind of like externally almost motivated. I was wondering if maybe before we jump onto the next question, if anybody has any thoughts on that, how self-doubt can come from sort of almost the outside in.
One of the things I was going to say, Jez, is sometimes when we're young, we can be told you can't do that, you're not good enough, you're not that type of person, or our family doesn't do that. So that sometimes can then become part of a person's story that they believe, and it's not even created by them initially. And that's not to bag families or anything, it's just we need to be conscious of where have my beliefs come from and are they actually true for me? And when we don't, I think that really can cause self-doubt from that external perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, awesome. I think it leads into that second question that you've got about what causes self-doubt. And it's what story have you written for yourself, or what story do you believe about yourself and about your surroundings? And if you're believing a story that is small, as as Danette said, that Marianne Williams, if you start playing small, then you're not being there for everyone else and you're not allowing other people to play big either. So where's your story come from?
I love that, John. That's a really nice way to do it. Nice throwing in the Marianne Williams quote as well there. But I also love I think that's a really good point. And I think, thank you, John, for even jumping into the second question there, because do you have anything else you want to add on what can cause self-doubt? I think that was really good, but is there anything else you want to throw in there?
Yeah, look, I just blame my parents. It's easier that way. But a lot of our, and I say that in jest, but a lot of my self-doubt as a young person came from my school friends. And the pressure that they put on me to be something else or to be someone, or I didn't fit in for some reason. So for me growing up with a lot of self-doubt around what I could do was because I didn't want to play big. I didn't want to be ridiculed by other people for doing something different. So you can start to conform. And as you get older, those childhood experiences tell you a story about yourself that you start believing and start enacting in everything else that you do. And then you start comparing yourself to other people. But in comparing yourself to someone else, you're not comparing apples and apples, because you pick a small slice of someone else's life that you think is better than yours. And you tell yourself, well, in that small slice, I don't fit, I don't match. Forget about everything else that goes on around that slice. But you're not comparing those apples and apples. So, you know, you've got to look at who you're comparing yourself to and why are you doing that? What are you hoping to achieve? And some people just want to keep that self-doubt going, keep that story going because it's comfortable and safe. And we need to break that down.
Wow. Yeah, that was amazing, John. I loved how many different elements were brought in there. I thought that was really, really good. So thank you for that. That was a great one. Alan, I'll throw to you now. What can cause self-doubt?
I really relate to what John's saying about, you know, it's that internal voice where it's about what we tell ourselves. And I always remember Graham saying years ago that our brain is not designed to make us happy, it's designed to keep us safe, which, you know, leads us to, you know, comparing ourselves to others. You know, am I good enough? And I read recently that we compare the best in others to the worst in ourselves. So to me, it's recognizing those patterns and I guess then choosing to do something differently, because if we don't recognize those patterns, they run automatically.
Wow. Also another great answer there, Alan. And I love the bits and pieces you threw in there through your reading and stuff. So that's great. Thank you so much, you two. I'll throw to Danette now. What can cause self-doubt?
So another thing that can cause it is you fail at something and you just then call yourself a failure. So you just start doubting yourself and you don't try new things because, well, I tried that and it failed, versus I tried that, it didn't work, I've learned something, what can I try and make it work next time? So it's that whether we quit and then our story is I'm a quitter, I'm a failure, versus I just learned something. So it's reframing when we fail to it's a learning opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great little leak into question three on how to fix it as well, but I love that. No, it's good. It's good because I think it's added a nice little positive swing here in the middle. So thanks for that, Danette. I'll throw to Graham now. Graham, what can cause self-doubt?
I love the responses so far. I've actually gone back probably a step sort of further back, and I was thinking about our inbuilt need for belonging. Mm. That it's like a biologically sort of hardwired need to feel that we belong somewhere with someone. It's like who's in our tribe, and this goes back to both to what John and Alan were both talking about around the whole sort of nature nurture thing, and are you? Do you belong to a tribe who challenge you, inspire you, motivate you, or do you belong to a tribe who are continually just trying to keep you safe and keep you small? Going back to, you know, John was talking about Marianne Williamson's thing before. So if we belong to a tribe who are constantly trying to keep us safe, but by doing that, they're keeping us small, then for me, that's one of the really clear triggers of self-doubt coming in, because the people around me, and you know, I can think of a ridiculous number of occasions as a parent where that's exactly what I've done with one of my children, because I had a fear. So rather than encouraging them to risk, I did or said something to try and keep them safe. And, you know, in hindsight, not necessarily a good choice.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Graham. I just have to say thanks everyone for the different perspectives. Like, I feel like I'm getting a really nice whole look at this topic. So thank you all for that. And Scott, I'll throw to you. What can cause self-doubt?
I think particularly low self-esteem, and you know, the fact that negativity as well from yourself and peers, and you know, downgrading your actual capabilities that are within yourself. So I think that's a couple.
Yeah, nice.
I like that. Can I just jump in on the like low self-esteem thing? And I was just thinking about things like social media.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the challenges for all of us, if we engage too much in social media, is that you start to believe some of the nonsense that's written about people who are allegedly successful and how they became amazingly successful at whatever they were doing literally overnight because they're so much smarter and brighter and faster and stronger and wiser and everything else than everybody else on planet Earth. And if you stay in that space for too long, you can, I think, start to believe that it's just not possible for me to be like that.
Yeah, and actually I want to just jump in on that social media one, Graham. I think it's a great point, and I think it's a great point from everybody. And I think this question's been answered really, really well by everyone, so thank you for that. I just think with social media as well, because it's designed to be addictive, it can make you have self-doubt in another way, where if, say, you don't realize you've spent an hour on it, then you've lost an hour and then you feel disheartened that you don't have like the self-control to stop or something. But it's they've refined that like anything else to be almost a perfect distraction machine. So that can also feed into it, as well as what you're saying, Graham, with seeing people who are just successful. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but in both ways are negative. All right, well, let's jump onto our final question, which is the positive upswing of this episode, which is, what are some ways you've seen or know about that can remove self-doubt? And I might start actually with the people that answered our last question. So I might start with Graham. What are some ways you've seen or know about that can help remove self-doubt?
One of the harder ways, but also I think one of the more powerful ways, is to critically evaluate and potentially change your tribe. Find a new tribe. If the tribe that you're in, that you belong to, doesn't support you, motivate you, challenge you, inspire you, then find a new tribe.
Love it. Yeah, love that. Thanks for that, Graham. Danette, what are some ways that you've seen or know about that can remove self-doubt?
So one of the things we know about our brain is it can't tell the difference between us actually doing something and imagining doing something. So one of the ways is to actually imagine yourself doing that and just keep repeating that till it sort of becomes your new story of who you are. And your brain, if it can imagine it, it can do it. So start thinking about, oh, what if I did this? Imagine if I did this. And then just notice, because you're putting in the feel-good chemicals into your bloodstream as well, that actually helps you to become that new story of you, which I think is super important, because we are who our story is of ourselves.
That's awesome. I love that, Danette and Graham. Thank you for that. Scott, I'll throw to you. What are some ways you've seen or know about that can remove self-doubt?
Definitely encouragement and direction from people close to you, your peers and your loved ones and your family, to start to, you know, get that belief back that you can achieve what you set out to achieve. And I think that's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah, love that. Thank you, Scott. That's a great one. Awesome. I'll throw to Alan now. Alan, what are some ways you've seen or know about that can remove self-doubt?
I've actually come prepared with three things here, Jez, and the first two have been ticked off. That was stop putting the wrong things in, start putting the right things in, and the third one was get the things that shouldn't be in there out. And that comes back to what Danette mentioned earlier on with those negative or limiting beliefs that we have. And for me, that's around, you know, it's getting coached, or like Scott said, you know, having the right people around you to challenge those beliefs, as opposed to, you know, supporting those beliefs, saying, yeah, you're right, you'll never be able to do that.
Once again, I love that, Alan. I also love that we've started to get in sync, where now even Danette and Graham are taking your ideas. So it's all good. It's good to see.
I prefer to use the term sharing, Jez.
But yeah, thank you, Alan. Love that. Love that. John, I'll throw to you now. What are some ways you've seen or know about that can remove self-doubt?
Well, I've loved the answer so far, Jez, and I've got two slightly different ones, or two. I guess they build on from what we've talked about, but one is change your language. And I know that's one Danette has talked about in the past. I remember doing a training program with her. It was a Robin Sharman training program. We had someone in the room, and she, the language needed to, we thought, could change and improve. So she put a rubber band on her wrist, and every time she recognised that she's this lady, that she used a negative connotation, she'd just ping the rubber band on her wrist, and not to inflict pain, but just to create that awareness. Or if someone else picked her up, you know, they could say, hang on. So change your language, because language is so powerful, and that drives our beliefs. The other part would be create a checklist. So if you've got self-doubt about your ability to be able to do things, what is it you want to do? And break that down into bite-sized pieces, and then create a checklist. And slowly, over a period of time, you'll tick, you know, hopefully you'll tick those off, and you can see, actually, I can achieve these things. And it may be that you achieve 50% before you throw it all out the window and go, I can't do it, and then have to start again. But yeah, that visual of seeing things ticked off and marked off as completed can be very powerful as well.
Yeah, I love that one, John. I know that's one that Kanika loves as well, is the list thing, because, yeah, you can see that. It's that visual process and progress, and you feel good about it. So I love that answer as well. So thanks so much for that. I just wanted to say thank you so much today. I'm so glad we had you on, Scott. We've got some really good stuff, and as always, different perspectives provide different perspectives, which gives us a better look at the problem. So I just want to thank you so much for being on today. I know you got roped in last minute, but you've done a great, great job. No stress. All right, well, let's just jump into the final part, which is our final thoughts on removing self-doubt. And I might start with you, John. Just any final thoughts on removing self-doubt?
You've got to be prepared to try. Because if you're not prepared to try, then nothing's going to change. So as hard as it can be, start something and progress from there.
Love it. Thank you, John. Alan, I'll go to you. What are your final thoughts on removing self-doubt?
I love what John said about being prepared to try. And the other piece coming to mind is when Graham mentioned it's having a good look at our tribe, those people around us, and deciding, you know, are those people lifting me up or are they pulling me down, and, you know, putting in the effort to hang around the people that are lifting us up.
Love that as well. Thank you, Alan. Love that answer. I might go, Danette, final thoughts on removing self-doubt.
So I think one of the things about self-doubt is we get self-focused. So I think one of the things you can do is start to focus on others. So you could ask, you know, how can I serve? How can I make this better for others? And then that takes the focus off yourself and onto others. And often, you know, how can I make this better for this person is a motivator for us. So I'd say if you notice you're doing that comparison with others, et cetera, that's your brain going inwards. Take it perhaps outwards, and how can I help and support others?
Nice. I like that. Yeah.
Great answer, and a great another way to think about it as well. So thanks for that, Danette. Graham, I'll throw to you. Final thoughts on removing self-doubt.
One other thing that came to mind was the idea of self-efficacy.
It's a big word.
It is. I wasn't sure that I could say it, but there I have. There's a Canadian psychologist who, at one point, I think he was acknowledged as the fourth most important psychologist in the world, behind people like some guy called Freud. But he spent most of his career studying this idea of self-efficacy. And the thing that I sort of related back most to is the whole growth versus fixed mindset and Carol Dweck's work. So the idea of self-efficacy is that
I can have self-doubt about my ability to do something or achieve something. So I can have self-doubt in the moment. But if I have high self-efficacy, it means I have a growth mindset. So I can have some doubt about being able to do it, but I also believe that I can learn how to do it. Or if I don't get it right the first time, I believe that I have enough skills to be able to improve at that thing. So self-doubt is normal. When we build greater self-efficacy, it absolutely helps us override the self-doubt.
That's such a good one and such a good little like almost program to have in your brain, which is that if I fail, I can learn and stuff. So that's great, Graham. Thank you for that. And Scott, our special guest, I'll get you to wrap it up for us this week. What are your final thoughts on removing self-doubt?
I think we need to, it's easier said than done, but we need to try to repel negativity at all costs. And that's why it's so massively important to have that support group around and positive people around us. So I know we spoke about that tribe. You need a strong, positive tribe and network around us to be able to, stay in that positive mindset.
Mm. And Jez, I'd just like to acknowledge Scott because he literally did get roped in last minute and this is his first ever podcast. So how cool is that?
Well, Scott, you've done so well. I think you should almost start a Scottcast because it's been that good.
Jez is out
for me.
It's in the wings. It's in the early planning stages that we have every confidence that Scott will pull it off.
No, I want to thank you so much for being on today, Scott, and I want to thank everyone for being on. I just want to say, as always, we've been having our listenership's been going up, and I just want to thank everybody that's been listening and supporting and getting the word out there. It took us about 100 episodes to get to 2,000 plays, and we're almost at 3,000 in the next 10 after that. So we've been moving really quickly, and I think it's because everyone that's listening is supporting it and sharing it, obviously, and getting the word out there. So we just want to thank everybody that's listening. I want to thank everyone that's been on each week, like John, Alan, Danette, Graham, and a special thanks to Scott for really jumping in at the last minute. It's been great. Great job.
And thank you too, Jez.
Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I love doing it. Once again, thank you all so much. It's been a great episode. Like I said, a lot of great perspectives. And until next time, have a magical week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, cool.